Now that Father, in Jesus' name, that no weapon that's formed against Father God, Lord, our prayers is going to prosper. We ask you tonight in Jesus' name to touch Lord Donald Trump. We pray for him, Father God, that you will strengthen he and his family. Father, we just speak life over them. Thank you for your protection over them, Father. We pray, Lord, tonight to all that are connected, Father God, to Lord, to this election, the things that are going on right now, that you'll protect the ones that need protecting, expose the ones that need to be exposed, cause the hidden things to come to the light. And Father, tonight we just especially lift up Helen's mother before you, ask you, Father, to just touch and move upon her and bring healing. We speak healing to that, Lord, right now, Lord, that brain where it's bleeding. When we say stop it in the name of Jesus, Father, we just believe for your healing touch right now. And Father God, we just thank you for that. Believe you for it. In Jesus' name we pray tonight. And everybody said amen. Amen. Give the Lord one praise tonight. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Sing that line, come on. Great are you, Lord. You give life. You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you.
Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing.
Somebody give him a praise right now. You provide the fire, and I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the spirit, and I will open up inside. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. You provide the fire, I'll provide the sacrifice. You provide the Spirit, and I will open up inside. Fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me up, fill me up, fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me up, fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me up, fill me up, God, fill me up. Permeate all my soul, love of God, overflow, permeate all my soul, love of God, love of God, overflow, permeate all my soul. Overflow, permeate, come on, all my soul, love of God, love of God. Pray that tonight. Overflow, permeate, all my soul, love of God, love of our nation, Lord. Overflow in our nation, Lord. Fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me up, fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me up, God, fill me up, love of God. Overflow, permeate all my soul, love of God. Overflow, permeate all my soul, oh love of God. Overflow and permeate all my soul, love of God, overflow and permeate all my soul, love of God, overflow. Overflow and permeate all my soul. Fill me, Lord, and fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Feel me up.
Fill me up. Fill me up, God.
Go on, ask him.
Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up.
Let me hear you.
Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up, God. Fill me up.
And you provide the fire. I'll provide the sacrifice. Come on, let's worship him. Come on. Just begin to worship him. Tell him you love him tonight. Come on. Come on. Yes, Lord.
Reach over and shake somebody's hand tonight. In the name of the Lord. Tell them you love them in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Man, they'll have people afraid to hug each other, touch each other, shake each other's hands. Let's have the ushers to come.
Ticket
or two. Or two. That's right. Thank you.
How are you guys doing? Good. So over, I guess it's been the past few months, the Lord's really been dealing with me on the status of the church, not just here in Patrick County, but all over the world, and kind of where have we been through all of this. And he's given me several dreams over the past month or so that really illustrate to me where the church is right now. And basically what I'm getting is he's not very happy with the church as a whole. I'm going to share with you the three dreams that he's told me and kind of give you what he showed me in these dreams. But first I'm going to talk to you about Ezra 9, chapter 9. It talks about how the Jewish people were intermarrying with the Gentiles and how the Gentiles, they worshiped all kinds of pagan gods. And I looked up a few things, and it was just awful. But Ezra 9 is just about the intermarriage of the Jewish people with the Gentiles and then them adopting into their lives everything that was going on with the Gentiles. I'm not going to read it because it's very long, but that's basically what it is. If you have time tonight or tomorrow, pick it up and read it. It's very specific. But the first dream that I had was I was standing in a church. It wasn't this church. It was just a church. My sister was there, and she was preparing for a dance that she was going to be performing in front of the church. And it wasn't just her. It was several people that were going to be dancing with her. And she asked me to help with that dance. I was very uncomfortable, but at the same time, I thought it was going to be fun. Later on, that same church was packed out. Every seat appeared to be filled. Every row was just filled. There was just a ton of people there. I remember I looked at my watch in the dream, and I went up front to where she was, and I just knew I had to help her with it. And she looked at me, and she goes, "No, I don't need you to help now. You just help me prepare for this." And then I was like, okay, well, that kind of threw me for a curveball in the dream. So I went back a few rows, and when the dancers came out in the sanctuary, they were all dressed very inappropriately, very, very scantily. They were short skirts, short shirts, just things that you definitely should not be wearing. And when they started to dance, it was very provocative. It was just an extremely provocative dance. The entire church just went wild, loved it, loved everything about it. And when I woke up, that was when God showed me the Ezra 9 about the intermarriage with sin, the things that are being allowed inside of the church that definitely should not be allowed inside of the church. And if you just look it up, you can see the sin that has been allowed to take place in the church. And it just goes on, and people applaud it. They love it. They're okay with it. Their flesh loves it, so they go on with it. And they've lost all connection with the Holy Spirit and the convictions of the Holy Spirit. After that dream, I woke up, and I was just, I had no idea what that dream meant at the time, but I woke up. When I went back to sleep, and I forgot to mention, this all was on October 31st when I had these dreams. I believe that was very significant. The next part, or the next dream that I had, was I was at a house, and there was a lady, and she was talking about how wonderful this house was, and it just looked like your plain house from the outside. And what I kind of figured was that, okay, this house has got to have something immaculate on the inside. When we went in, and she was showing this house to a couple that was there for it was going to be a wedding present for them, is what it seemed like. But when we go inside of this house, she's going around and she's talking about how amazing this house is. Just how it's such a great house. It's probably the best house you'll ever see. And what I'm seeing is something completely different. I'm seeing old tile. I'm seeing the ceiling caving in. I'm seeing water stains everywhere. I'm seeing there was carpet in the bathroom. It was just all moldy and just awful. It was an awful thing. And then we go into the kitchen area where the island is, and the island, the foundation of the island is just, it's falling down. The top of the countertop is coming undone. And I remember taking a white can of spray paint and tried to cover up this awful-looking island. And like I said, the whole time she just kept saying how wonderful this house was. Well, when I woke up, I didn't know exactly what that meant either, but when the Lord revealed it to me, he said, "This is the church. It needs to be gutted. It needs to be a lot of the stuff that's been allowed in that's caused this decay, this just awful-looking outdatedness and mold and everything. It was just, it needs to be gutted and re-examined and back to the roots of where Jesus showed us how to do it, where the apostles went through and they showed us how to do it. They set up the church. Let's get back to that and get back to the outpouring of the Spirit where the signs, the wonders, the miracles took place." So that dream really hit me. And like I said, both of those dreams were the night of October 31st. Well, the morning of October 31st, early morning hours when I had those dreams. Now, the next dream was different, to say the least. It was, but the next dream, it was 2 weeks ago, the 23rd of November. I was actually praying before bed, and the Lord told me, I'm going to show you something tonight. And when he told me that, I was like, all right, this is going to be pretty cool. I like it when you show me things. I went to sleep. When my dream started, I was in a field that was in the middle of a forest. It was just a little grassy spot inside of this forest. And there's trees all to my right and all kind of surrounding me. And in the trees, and also it's overcast. It's either getting dark or it's overcast. It was not a lot of light outside. But in the trees, these white floating lights start to appear and come toward me and move through the trees toward me. As I'm watching these lights, I'm thinking, man, this is going to be great. This is probably the Holy Ghost. This is the presence of God or something. You know, in the dream, I was thinking that. As the white lights that were extremely bright got nearer to me, they turned into the Grim Reaper, but continued to be white as could be. They had the sickle, they had their hoods on. And when I woke up from that dream, I woke up pretty much when all those started happening, but each one of them turned into that. When I woke up, I was confused. I've never had a dream that was quite like that from the Lord. As I prayed about it and asked him what it meant, he said, these are the false teachers and the people, the preachers, the evangelists, everybody who aren't bringing my word. They can preach good. It sounds great. It looks good on the surface, but it just leads to death because you're not going to have anything out of it. And also when I woke up from that, the fear of the Lord was on me. I can't explain it. It was heavy in the room. I've actually never felt that before. It was quite scary, but he's revealed these things to me so that I can bring a message to the church, not just this church, but the whole church is the body of Christ, to say we've got to get back to our roots. We've got to get back to the foundation, and we've got to say, when the Holy Spirit came, that's what we should all have. We can't be going around saying, oh, it's all right if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit. Well, why not? Why not just do it? It's kind of a commandment in the Bible. It's like, go and do it. This is where your power, this is where your demonstrations come from. And I know that changed my life when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost. But basically, these three dreams were a huge eye-opener to me. I knew the stuff was going on in the church. I knew there was a lot of stuff that was being allowed throughout the entire church. But this really hit me. And it's really been quite heavy on me for the past few weeks since I've had these dreams. But we all need to pray. And we all need to examine our lives and see, do we have any mold growing? Do we have any foundational problems in our faith? Are we waking up in the middle of the night and praying? If we are woke up in the middle of the night, why not just see, God, do you want me to pray? Or just go pray for a little bit. See what he's got to say. You can have some of the most amazing moments with the Lord at 3 a.m. So that's what I'm here to say is, let's examine our lives. Let's see where we can improve and where we can get deeper with the Father, where the Holy Spirit can lead us to that person at Walmart who needs to be healed, that person on the side of the road that needs help, the person in your church that needs help, that's too afraid to come up and talk about it. Maybe they're embarrassed about it. But I want everyone that hears this just to meditate on that. This altar is always open. If you find something in your life, some foundational problem, something that you're sure the Lord would not like, some sin that's crept its way in, deal with it today. Don't wait till tomorrow. Have your breakthrough right now. And make sure that when we're done with this race that we're in, that we're torn, tattered, and given everything that we can give for the kingdom of Christ. And when he can tell us that we've done a great job, well done, and faithful servant. That's the goal, right? And to get everybody on fire for him. That's pretty much it, Pastor.
Another thing for you to realize is that the Lord does speak through dreams. He really does. And he'll let you know if it's something that you need to write down. But I had this dream yesterday morning where I was looking into some woods, and a new pastor and some men were killing pythons in the woods. Okay? I could hear them down there rustling around. But I saw two pythons in trees. One was wrapped around the tree, and they were camouflaged. Okay? And another one was slithering up a tree. Ugh, it just gives me just the willies to even think about it. So I was hollering at the men to say, there's two more up here, there's two more up here. And Alan Harbor hollers back and said, we got it, we got it. And so I knew that it had to do with the Leviathan spirit, the where he strangles. And so I texted Pastor very early this morning, and yesterday morning, and Pastor said this: the python seeks to strangle and suffocate God's work. Trees stand for people, and these spirits being attached to these trees. Now, this is the church, people. There are these spirits that are attached to people in the church. They're operating in the spirit and spreading discouragement. So we need to bind that spirit. And this is in the church. So it goes right along with what you were saying.
Absolutely. That could be anybody that you know. Could have that spirit on them and could be trying to choke out your faith and the power that God's given you. He can be trying to choke it out. We have to be guarded at all times for that. So it's obvious that he's warning us. He's warning us. We are entering into some times where I heard a pastor say it the other day, it may be too late for you to get all your ammo and everything like that you're going to need in the spirit. So that it may just be too late. You may meet that situation head on, and you're not prepared. So it's time to buckle down, pray, seek him in everything that we do. Designate a time every day to talk to him. I can't tell you how that's improved my daily life, just starting the day with him. And if you end it with him, that's fine too. That's fantastic. But at some point, designate a time to be with him.
Thank you, sir. Amen. Let me get my other mic on. I like my hands free. I might want to kill a python or something. Amen. I was just listening, to what was being said. Because I think it's some really important stuff here, that we really need to pay attention to, especially, in our nation, nationally, or the church nationwide or around the globe. Because I believe one of the things that God is getting ready to do is not only is he going to expose what's in the Congress and the Senate and governors and all these other things, but I think one of the things that you're seeing right now is true and false pastors, apostles, prophets. And it's amazing to me how that so many want to stand on the outskirts and point a finger at what God is really saying right now. And, I'm talking about pastoral authority or apostolic authority of people that really are poisoning their congregations. And what I mean by that is because I truly, really believe that as so goes the church, so goes the nation. I really do. Because if the church prays and we stay right with God, we have great authority and great power. And, it reminded me of the dream that the Lord gave me about the two churches and how that in one of those visions, in the upper house, they were both identical. But the thing about it, one of them had a dead tree in the yard and it was a swing and people were playing out in it. And then the other one was down below it in the valley, and it was real, really green grass. The tree was bloomed out and green. And then when a twister came, you remember me telling you, a twister came, and I remember I was yelling at the people up at the other church. I was yelling at them, that the twister was coming. They just kept right on, sucked them up, took the church away, everything. And it headed toward me, and the Lord told me, because the church that I was at was identical to that one as far as it looked, except for one had dead grass, a dead tree, and the people were playing, and in the other one, everything was green and alive. And I remember hearing the Lord tell me in that dream, he said, reach. I said, God, what am I going to do? I said, this twister's coming. I'm outside. He said, reach down, get a hold of the foundation. And I said, Lord, I can't. I mean, it's like it's built out of old stone. You know what I'm talking about? You've seen churches or buildings that have that old stone around them. And I said, God, there's no way I can get a hold of the foundation. He said, reach down and get a hold of the foundation. That's the only way that you can survive what's coming, the storm. And I believe we're in the middle of that storm right now in our nation because, you know, politically, I think a lot of people have given up. I think that a lot of people are fed up with everything that they see that's happening in the nation, that they say, you know, forget it. I've heard some people say, I'm never going to vote again. And, you know, there's a quitting spirit, that relaxing of the grip. That is not what God wants us to do right now. That is not the church. The Bible says, upon this rock I'll build my church. Revelation of who Jesus is, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. But I remember when I put my hands down and they went down in the ground all the way. I don't even, to me it was like, this is really supernatural. I reached down, I grabbed hold of the foundation and I could feel the suction of that twister pulling me, but it couldn't get me because I reached down through that solid ground and I got a hold of the firm foundation. And I think that's really what all of this is saying tonight, is that if there's ever been a time where we needed to get a hold of the foundation, it's now. Or if the old landmarks be removed, we're in trouble. And so you think right now, you think about how that, you know, our founding fathers, you know, that came over here, they cut covenant with God and they prayed. And you think about our Constitution, our Bill of Rights, and the Declaration of Independence. Those things that God has given us are the very things that everything is hinged on right now. Right now. If it weren't for those documents, we would be up the creek without a paddle. And it's going to take people that have guts, fortitude, that reach down and take hold of that foundation and understand God gave those things. Take hold of that foundation. Now's the time to pray. Somebody said, well, the prophets have prophesied that Donald Trump is going to win. Honey, there's a battle going on. Do you want him to just simply win and then have four more years of impeachment and accusations and problems? No, we want the house cleaned. And I really believe that the twisters are coming, and I believe everything that's not founded upon this is going to be sucked up and carried away. I believe God is cleaning house. I believe that he is removing everything that can be shaken is going to be shaken, as Haggai says in Paul in Hebrews, so that those things which cannot be shaken shall remain. And so it's the ones that are founded upon the truth of the Word and what it says, because morality matters. Truth matters. Amen. And so we want to get a hold of the foundation and we want to operate out of that foundation because we have real authority, because if we pray like we should and really believe God, then we're going to be not only calling for Donald Trump to have four more years, which I believe he'll fully have, but you know, at the same time, you know, God's not wasting his time. This is a supernatural kairos moment that we really need to reach out and grab a hold of. Do not. That's why it's so important to shake yourself and stir yourself and get yourself energized in the presence and spirit of Almighty God, and just not let the lulling spirit of this world right now, don't get caught up in that vacuum. Turn CNN off. Fox Network, turn it off. Don't listen to that garbage. All of it's garbage. It's just nothing but lies, 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 lies. I mean, you know, somebody said, well, Bill Barr said this. Who cares? Who cares? 2 Chronicles 20:20 says, believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. You know, believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And so as we believe, you know, that inspired word that God has put in the mouths of the prophets, and as we stand on that and believe that, because listen, just think for a few minutes, how in the world can an election stop at 11 o'clock and say, well, we're going to take a break, we'll come back tomorrow? I mean, basically that's what happened. That is impossible. It is impossible to see the election in our nation going like it was going and just literally stop. Now, I don't know about you, but as soon as that happened, I looked at Deborah and said,
something is getting ready to happen, and it is not good. And I said, the devil has risen up right here. And I think about the prayers that were prayed all year long. See, I spend probably praying for the president, probably most every day, anywhere from 20 to 30 minutes at least to pray for our president. Every day, almost every single day, to pray for him, to pray for the leadership in our nation, to believe God to move on this, and then throughout the day to pray in the Holy Ghost over those things. Because I live here, you live here, our children have a future here, but they're not going to have it unless the church is willing to put its hand out and tell the devil, no, not now, not here, you're not doing this in Jesus' name. We have that authority in Christ Jesus. And so it's just like with this python spirit, something that really stuck out is like she said the python was in the tree. And that means that that spirit is affecting a leader. Leaders. You know what I'm saying? We were out in the forest with a bunch of men, Christians, and we were killing pythons. And then there were some of those pythons that were up in the tree. That's very significant to me because that tells me that leaders are being affected by these spirits. And so the church has authority over those things, to bind them, to take authority over them, to cast them down underneath our feet in Jesus' name. And I love this. I heard John Kilpatrick was talking about taking authority over a certain spirit. He said he bound it, he cast it down. He said the Lord told him to do it a certain way. He said he told him to bind it, he bound it, and he cast it down underneath his feet. And he said, I command you to never wiggle again against me. And he said it never has risen up since that day. And it was a Jezebel-type spirit. Same thing with Python or Leviathan. Any of these things are really right out of witchcraft, sorcery, voodoo, all kinds of stuff that's out there. These people in Hollywood and all these, I mean, there's no telling how many politicians or people, got to be careful, that are involved in stuff that's so bizarre just to get authority, just to get power, because we have people that are power hungry. They want power. So it's important for us as the church not to get caught up in the lull. Depression is what I'm talking about. Feeling down, feeling blue. How many have felt that effect? Hey man, it's out here. All you got to do is just walk out the door. You can come and you can pray and you can just get in the presence of God. And next thing you know, you walk outside, you feel that spirit. Amen. God wants us to be aware of the fact of his abiding presence that's with us. Remember this. And actually, I was going to teach on this tonight, but I'll just drop a few things out there. We are the temple of God. The Spirit of God lives in us. His abiding presence is with us. Jesus said that, you know, that the Spirit of God dwells in us. We are the temple of God. By virtue of being born again, he is in us. So think for a minute. God's presence is with me, not in a box, not in the Holy of Holies, not behind a curtain, but he's moved in here. He's here, right here. Now, if mere man walked behind that curtain, the glory of God and the presence of God would strike him down dead. Only the high priest. But thank God Jesus, our high priest, said it is finished, the veil was rent, the way's been opened unto us for life. And so I'm the temple of God. Everywhere that I go, light is emanating from me. If we could see in the Spirit tonight, out of you would be coming great power and great light. We're not talking about the baptism, we're just talking about being born again. All you got to do is show up and be the light. In this world in which we live, you are the temple of God. Mountains melt at the presence of the Lord. That's what happened on Sinai, wasn't it? Amen. The whole earth shook. Praise God. Is that right? Amen. And his presence is the fullness of joy. At his right hand, pleasures forevermore. At his presence, the enemy flees. And so you think about, God is in me. Amen. God is in me. You are of God, 1 John 4:4, little children. Is that what it says? You're of God. You're of God. Now think about what he said. He says this. He says, greater is he, and have overcame them, for greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcame them. Who's the them? The pythons, the leviathans, the witchcraft, all that different stuff that's out there, the depression, every foul thing that hell would spew out right now to depress the church and to hold it in captivity in a numb state, stupor state. And so what we have to do is realize the greater one is in me. That when I walk out the door, my presence or the presence of the God that's in me changes the atmosphere around me. Amen? Look at somebody and say, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. Amen. We have to use this. You have to declare this. You have to declare it. It's not just for the ears to hear it or make us feel good. We have to go outside and declare it to our enemy. We have to speak that out into the atmosphere and say, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Jesus moved from the cross to the tomb, and the tomb is empty. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. The book of Ephesians says what? We are seated together with him in the heavenly realms. We're seated with Jesus. We have great authority and great power in his name. Amen. And so that's why we can kill pythons. That's why when we pray, things change in the atmosphere. We can pray right here. Listen, our prayers can be so potent and authoritative and powerful that we can pray here and God will bear weight down upon senators, congressmen, presidents, rulers of foreign lands. He will do that. But we have to believe it. We have to believe it. What I am, what God has made me to be. I am a born-again child of God, and by virtue of a recreated spirit, my God now lives in me, and I can handle that presence that's in me. Are you listening? Amen. So we have a great effect tonight. And so the church, the only way that power can be diminished is to play games with God. Live ungodly, live worldly, be carnal, do what the world does. And we don't have the time to go on that dissertation tonight, but just to talk about what Paul talked about and John and Peter and all these guys in the scripture that talked about, you know, if you are following him and walking with him, then you don't commit sin. You're not a habitual practicer of sin. It's against the nature of the God that's in you. Amen. And so what do we do? We constantly walk with God, talk with God, live for God, and allow that spirit that's in us, the spirit of God, his abiding presence, amen, to lead us and to permeate the atmosphere that is around us. Amen? Amen. I mean, just, you know, you can get crazy. Just yell out the window and say, devil, you're a liar and a loser in Jesus' name. Amen. I think, you know, one of the things here I wanted to mention too, Jesse brought this out. He said he saw those lights coming and the lights turned into grim reapers. You know, Paul said, marvel not that Satan so transforced himself into an angel of light. I heard a man of God say this one time years ago. He said, with the first appearance of an angel, whether it's fallen or not, is light. Lucifer means what? Light bearer. And so if a demonic spirit is there, sometimes an appearance, and think about this. Now just think. The devil is so deceptive, he deceived one third of all the angels in heaven where God's throne is to believe that he could overthrow God's throne. Now that's something. What are you listening to? Whose voice are you listening to? You know, we need to get off this kick that we make the devil some big bad dude that he's not and understand who we are. And that's not, he's causing great havoc in our nation. And so the body of Christ needs to realize who we are, who they are, and rise up against that spirit and bind it in Jesus' name. Say, we forbid this from going on in Jesus' name. Father, we ask you to stop it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the enemy is reaping a harvest. Remember I brought that reaping tool out here Sunday morning? And so the enemy is reaping a harvest at the same time because of all the rhetoric that's out there, of all the false stuff, all the believing, all the lies and all the different things that are out there. He's reaping a harvest. And so we have to reap the harvest and be the real light in the world in which we live, and really, really share the Lord Jesus Christ with people. Amen. And let go of the unforgiveness and get rid of the uncleanness and get rid of the idolatry and get rid of all the stuff that separates between us and God, and allow the Holy Spirit to really inhabit us like he wants to. Amen. And so, you know, at the same time, I want you to get this now. There are mighty moves of God that are taking place in America, in Texas, California. Look at what Todd's got going on in Dawsonville. I mean, those are moves of God. Kentucky, I mean, there's things right where, Kentucky and Tennessee meet. There's a great move of God that's going on. I mean, there are real moves of God that are going on. And where young people are really coming to Jesus and have affected their schools up until COVID hit. See, you don't ever hear about this stuff, but there are moves of God that are going on. And so the devil wants to do anything he can to try to hinder God from moving. We have to continue to host what God wants to do. Because without us, he cannot do it. So we have the authority, listen, I'm going to tell you, we have the authority and the power to either have it or not have it. Amen. Somebody said, what's it? Talking about the glory, talking about the presence and the power of God and taking authority in Jesus' name concerning our nation and what God wants to do. So, man, see, it's a lot of stuff, but these are things, you know, that the prophets are speaking this stuff all over the place. You know, same message, same message. And so I believe that it's vital, you know, that we really hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying and really pray and seek His face, you know, as He wants us to. And so there's all kinds of opportunity to pray. So I encourage you to do that. Amen. God needs you praying. God needs you just, and sometimes, and listen, it's like, it's like Jesus taught us how to pray. Father, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's declaration. It's not really just prayer. He said, pray after this manner, but it's more declaration. You declare it. You declare it. You declare it in Jesus' name. Amen. Instead of saying, oh God, what are we going to do? Begin to say, Father, I thank you right now that I believe that this is going to happen. You ever heard this term, pray it into existence? You know somebody that's saved and you prayed for them and they were born again. You prayed them in. Amen. So God's out of the box and God's in us. Right? So we have the authority. You believe Jesus gets his prayers answered? Where does he live? Right here. Amen. So we just need to not put God in the box, but let God out. And pray, 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 pray like we have never prayed before. Amen. And I think sometimes we question ourselves saying, you know, oh, well, that's ridiculous. That's crazy. That's probably the thing God wants. Amen. To think out of the box. And believe the Lord to do great things. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. I'm done. Jesse's done. Laura Lee is done. Amen. Let's stand together tonight. So I encourage you, you know, because listen, I'm going to leave you with this tonight. I believe this is where we're at. And I heard Mario Murillo say this last night. And he's a revivalist. A prophetic revival has been around for years and years and years. But I heard him say Sid Roth. Everybody knows Sid Roth. Okay, it's supernatural. Sid Roth said something that was just really caught my ear. He said, we're one miracle away. And I believe that. One miracle away from losing the nation. One miracle away from having an awakening. And so personally, I believe we're going to have awakening. I believe Donald Trump's going to be president. I believe that you're going to see, you know, the light come on and the broom come out and God sweeping things away like you've never seen him sweep before. And I think that the kingdom of God is going to take off in this nation like we have never seen it ourselves before. Supernatural signs and wonders, revival, and we're going to take back, you know, our schools, and we're going to see God move. I think that's one of the first places that needs to start is in the school systems, and take those back in Jesus' name throughout all the other things. Well, Father, I pray tonight over this congregation. And Father, I pray tonight that these words, these dreams, these things, Father, that have spoken, despise not prophesying. You said, Lord, in the book of Joel, in the book of Acts, that young men would see visions, old men would dream dreams upon the handmaids and servants. You'd pour out your spirit. So Father, we understand that you spoke prophetically, Father God. Philip had four daughters that prophesied. Lord, Agabus was a prophet. Many other prophets throughout the New Testament, Father God, Lord, that you said, despise not those prophesying. So, Father, we listen to those tonight, and we are encouraged, Father God, because we know that they are for our edification. So, Father, we pray tonight, let the fire of that word work righteousness in our lives. And, Father, I pray that it'll work boldness, that, Father God in heaven, that we will make those holy declarations, Father God, of righteousness over our nation and over our leaders, because we believe you to uproot, to pluck out, to tear down everything that's evil, Father God, and that we will see a dismantling of the corruption and the wickedness, Father God, that exists in our nation. And, Father God, that we will see, Lord, a rebuilding, Father God, of the things that are righteous and true and truth, Lord God. We pray, Father God, for an awakening all across our nation, Father God, and throughout the nations of the earth, because we know that you have raised up America, Father God, to be a beacon and a light to the nations, to continue to send out missionaries, finance moves of God, and see, Father God, a harvest reap before you come, Lord Jesus. And Father, so I pray tonight that God, that you will use us in this house. And Father God, that you'll use all the churches, Father God, pour out your spirit like we've never seen you pour out your spirit before. We pray, Father God in heaven, that Lord, that the darkness, Father God, will be eradicated and great light and glory will come in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we ask, Father, tonight, Father God, that every heart would receive rest in their soul, Father God, in their physical man, and Father, that there would be a reviving in the spirit of might, Father God, to come upon them. Father, every single one, Lord, let your kingdom come, your will be done, Father, in our nation, in our lives, in every situation. And we thank you tonight that, Father God in heaven, we are going to see your glory in America. Father God, we will see it in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you tonight and praise you for those things. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen, amen. Jingle, mingle, Sunday, what time? 6 o'clock. Don't miss it. Vicky's been working 24 hours a day. Now I'm serious, man. She has been really working, so it's going to be good, and you do not want to miss it. Amen. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow night prayer meeting. Praise God.